Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message and learn more about God, life, and you. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationemmeton.com and follow us on Instagram at celebrationedm. Enjoy this message.
Hey, my name's Joel, and this is my mom, Pastor Leslie, and we just feel so honored and thankful that you'd be here today with us on Mother's Day, and we have the opportunity of sharing a message with you together for the first time. We've never preached together before. Usually we're just arguing, so this will be different to be, you know, agreeing with something together. No, we just feel like we have a practical message that God has given us for today. We love family. Our church loves family. And we just believe that as the church, we should be the cheerleaders for the family, encouraging you in every step. And it can be tough sometimes having a family and keeping everybody together. But we believe that the church should encourage you along the way. And that's what we want to do today. We believe that today will be better for your family. Your family's gonna be better because of today. And you know what? If you're a youth or young adult, or you're in the room and you don't have kids, I still think you can apply this to so many areas of your life. And I still think the family that you're in can be better because of it. And I think the friendships and the relationships you're in can be better because of today. Well, hey, my mom's gonna start us off. She is a mom of four crazy boys, and I think that she did a pretty good job. We're all still alive today, and we got some scars and stuff, but we're all put together. We're good, and she's also a grandma to five little kids as well. So she's doing it all, and she's gonna start us off today.
Awesome, awesome. Well, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And isn't Joel the brave son to agree to speak with his mom? I think that's pretty brave. I'm sure he says he feels he's brave too. So anyways, I want to start off the first part of this message I'm going to be sharing. And I want to share some principles of family. And I've got a great scripture for you if you want to follow along in your notes. And I'm going to be unpacking this scripture as we go along. And a scripture I want to share to you, as long as I stand in the right spot, I can do it. Ephesians 6, 2 through 4 in the Amplified. It says, honor, esteem, value as precious your father and mother, and be respectful to them. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may have a long life on the earth. Fathers, I guess your parents are going to kill you if you're not, I don't know, something like that. But fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by showing favoritism or indifference to any of them, but bring them up tenderly with loving kindness in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Isn't that a great scripture? There's so much said in that scripture. So I want to take some time to go through some of the things here. So the first thing I want to talk about is the principle of mutual respect. First principle we've seen there, it says, honor, esteem, value as precious your father and your mother, and be respectful to them. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you. And so that's the first scripture with a promise. And I know for our family, to the extent that our kids have listened to us in different areas of their life, I've seen it go well for them. I've seen them be blessed when they listen to us in different areas of their life. So that's a commandment with a great promise. But the next verse speaks to the responsibility of the parents. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive. So there's a responsibility on parents to not exasperate their kids, not place unreasonable demands on them. And I think what that speaks to is sometimes we expect and ask our kids to do things that are not reasonable or things that we wouldn't even do. And I think to determine if something is reasonable, put yourself in their shoes. In every situation, put yourself in their shoes. One of the best things that we do sometimes is we think, man, they should be doing this by now, or they should be saving better, or they should be doing this, or they should be studying more, or they should be getting better marks. But we ask ourselves, what did we do at that age? What dumb things did we do at that age? You know, how good were we at that situation at their age? So not that we can't call them to a higher level, but think back. You might be asking something that you didn't do at that age as well. So be reasonable in your expectation.
And the other thing I think it says here, unrealistic expectations for teens and adult kids as well, but even also for younger kids, there's some things that we can do that can be a little bit unreasonable. And if we put ourselves in their shoes, it really helps for us to know how to treat them in that situation. So one of the things I have noticed is with kids, sometimes we do this. We go up to them and we go, okay, drop everything. We're going now. Stop playing with your toys. We're leaving. You know, stop this. We're going to go to bed. And we expect them to immediately, you know, they should be obeying. We think they should just obey us at a moment's notice. Well, has any woman, has her husband ever tried that on them? You know, we're going now. You're in the middle of something. I know my husband has tried that. It has not gone well for him. So, you know, but we expect that of kids. You know, we expect different treatment. Or if your boss came in and said, do this now, it doesn't go well. Right. So why should we expect something different of kids? Let's do things to help our kids, to facilitate behavior, things like that. So one of the things that we've done with our grandkids is they love the timer on the phone. So if we tell them, if we just said, okay, stop what you're doing right now, let's go do something else, they might not react well. But if we say, okay, you've got 5 minutes or 2 minutes to stop playing that game, then they like that. They like pushing the little button on the phone, and then they like, they want to obey that 5 minutes. So it makes a huge difference if we're just respectful and we don't expect them to do something that we wouldn't be able to do as well. So that really helps. So the next part of the scripture says, let's put ourselves in their shoes and not have unreasonable demands. And then it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by showing favoritism or indifference to any of them. There's a lot in there, but I'm just going to talk about favoritism. And, you know, there's just a natural tendency towards sibling rivalry. That's just the way we're made up. We are made up to compare ourselves with each other. But sometimes parents, we can have favoritism towards our kids without even realizing what we're doing. And that's going to cause strife in the family. One of the things I've seen is that there's a tendency for parents, especially of adult kids, if one kid's in trouble with drugs or the law, or they're just not managing their finances well, there's a tendency for that parent to go in and rescue that one. I think it's sometimes parental guilt. They think, well, you know, I feel so sorry for that kid. But a lot of times it's their choices. And what happens is the kids who are doing well financially or the kids who are doing well in other areas of life get neglected a bit. Or they can get overlooked and all the resource, all the time, all the energy is going towards the one that's in trouble. So we are setting up the family for conflict when we show favoritism for one kid to the next. So let's be careful we don't show favoritism in any way with our kids, because we're going to be the cause of a lot of the jealousy issues. But it says, but bring them up tenderly with loving kindness in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. So it says, bring them up tenderly with loving kindness. So one of the ways we can do that is even in watch our tone of voice. Listen to the tone of our voice. How are we speaking to our children? Are we speaking to them tenderly? We might even have grown up thinking a certain tone is normal. You know, your family might have been high volume, strong volume. We might have thought that that tone was normal. Yeah. So if you're not sure, ask your spouse. What's going on back here? You have to be careful what you say, amen. So we might have grown up thinking a certain tone is normal. And so that can cause, that's not tenderness in the family. That's not bringing them up in loving kindness. So ask your spouse if you're not sure. Ask somebody else if you're not sure, how's my tone? I know our grandchildren are really sensitive to tone. I know my one granddaughter, if Dennis and I are talking and it sounds like maybe we're a little intense in how we talk, she'll start making noises. She'll go, mm-mm, you know. She'll start kind of like making little noises and we're like, what's wrong, what's wrong? And she'll say, are we being too strong? Do you think it sounds like we're fighting or something? She goes, mm-hmm. And so watch your tone. Kids are so sensitive. I'm so glad that she addresses that kind of thing and that we've got enough respect to listen to the four-year-old. But I'm so glad that she doesn't think that's normal, you know, that she hasn't grown up in an environment thinking that's normal. Right. So really watch your tone with your kids. And, you know, sometimes people say, well, I can't help it. You know, I can't help that I'm strong like this. But what's the tone that you use at work?
Do you use that same tone at work? What if I called you on the phone? What if the pastor called you on the phone? What kind of tone would you use on the phone? We can help it. We can be sensitive to our tone and use the right tone. So you can control yourself. And I'm sure you do when you're at church. So discipline. Next thing I want to talk about is discipline. So what about discipline? And I really believe in discipline. For the love of humanity, please discipline your children. We will all thank you for that. So I totally believe in discipline. But how do we discipline is important. But it says, bring them up tenderly with loving kindness in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Yeah. So I believe in discipline, but it needs to be done well. Discipline needs to be done well. And that means we have to take some time with discipline. We need to take the time. Sometimes it's a sacrifice of our time to discipline well. It's just easier to yell at them and get them to do something. But it takes time to do really thoughtfully and really well. Some good advice I've heard is don't use the same volume that you would use on the everyday things for the big things. So what I'm saying is, if you've got little things happening every day, watch your volume. Yeah. Watch your tone in those little things, because you might want to have to save that tone for the more important things. So watch your tone on the everyday things. And the other good advice I heard was, no matter what they tell you, try to respond calmly. So this is going to be tough. You might want to exercise this at home. And if you've got teenagers, I almost guarantee this is going to happen. So your husband and wife, you guys can practice this. But try, if they tell you, I just wrecked the car, you know, we can yell, what? Or we can respond with a different tone. We can respond with, are you okay? And begin to talk through the situations. So no matter what they tell you, rehearse ahead of time. No matter what they tell you, I'm going to respond calmly. Yeah. So that's, I think that's super good advice. And the reason why we want to do that, our goal is to be an open place where our kids can come and talk to us.
Right.
We want to be, our home should be a safe place. Yeah. Mom and dad should be safe people to talk to.
Yeah.
If you're the freak out parent on the little stuff, they're not going to be able to come to you with the big stuff.
Yeah.
So make sure you reserve just reserve your tone. Be careful with your tone. You can control your tone.
Yeah.
And you can control your response to things that happen. So yeah, you might want to practice that one. With four boys, we had to practice that one a lot. So the goal is to be a safe parent, a place that they could go, someone that they could talk to. We should discipline, but it can be respectful. And so discipline is important. It actually shows love to your kids. Letting them run amok doesn't show love. But watch how you discipline. And they can still learn from discipline. I know I wasn't perfect at this. I think we grew up in an era where, like, you really wanted to be a disciplinarian. And I thought if I was going to be a good disciplinarian, they needed to hear it in my tone that I was mad about something. But I think it created in me and with them, sometimes they didn't feel like I was a safe person to talk to. So really watch how you discipline. And we can do this well, even in the big situations. Way back in the day, many centuries ago, when I was a teenager, there was, you know, it was a big deal to skip school. I don't know what it's like now. I was in a country school. It was a big deal to skip school. And I saw my parents handle something with me well. And what happened was, it was a beautiful spring day like today. And being the outdoor person that I am, I got it in my brain that I should skip school. And I talked my girlfriend into going with me. It's like, it's a beautiful spring day. Let's go for a walk in the countryside. Not thinking we could get caught or anything. So we were walking down the road, skipping this whole afternoon classes. And we realized, hey, we're not going to get very far in the country here. Let's hitchhike. Great idea. Just so brilliant at that age. And I thought, well, we'll just hitchhike and get a ride somewhere nice. So we didn't even know where we're going. So anyways, we stuck at our thumbs and started to hitchhike, and the school principal drives by us. Eyes straight ahead, and we're like, do you think he recognized us? Maybe not, because he didn't stop. But we thought, okay, well, just in case, we'll dart down this side road and we'll hide in the ditch. We'll just kind of hang out in the ditch. Yeah, it's so lovely to hang out in the ditch rather than go to class. So we hung out in the ditch for a while. But we were smart enough to go back when the buses were leaving. So we went back and got on our bus and went home. And when I got home, my dad, who usually gets home 5:30 or 6, was standing in the kitchen with my mom. And my dad says very calmly, how was school today, dear? Well, you know I got busted.
So, but you know, the great thing about it was spoke a couple of things to me. First of all, that my dad, who's a busy guy, took time out of work to be home at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but they handled the situation so calmly. They could have screamed and yelled, because what ended up happening was the principal called my parents and my dad got off work and started looking for us. So here's your 15-year-old, 16-year-old daughter hitchhiking in the country and you can't find her. But somehow you must have heard that I was coming home in the bus and everything was calm. I mean, I did get disciplined. I did get grounded. The school had me have it in school detention. But the thing was, I learned a lot from that situation. I never did it again. But there wasn't this negative drama, big fight with my parents, because you got to defend yourself in a fight. I knew I was wrong. They handled it so well. So we can rehearse and we can handle these situations well in our lives. So discipline takes time and it takes sensitivity. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." My dad could have stirred up all sorts of things in me if he had talked to me harshly, but instead it was calm. So when you're disciplining your kids, take the time to do it well. Take the time to listen. There might be something going on in their world. There might be a reason why. For me, it was just a nice spring day. But you never know. It could have been something else. Maybe they're getting bullied. Maybe it's a cry for help. Take time to discipline and discipline well.
Yeah, I think with mutual respect, it always has to be initiated by the parent for sure. And this one thing I loved about my parents is they always showed us respect growing up. And they just always remembered that we were human beings before we were their children, you know? And I think sometimes people are like, "You're my kid, you're gonna do what I tell you to do, no matter what." But we're human beings, you know, with our own voice, with our own personality, and we wanna do our own things. But it's important for parents to remember that. In Proverbs 22:6, I love this verse. It says, "Point your kids in the right direction, and when they're old, they won't be lost." I love that it says point them in the right direction, not force them in the right direction, not make your kids go in the right direction, because I think this will work for anyone you love. It's just, man, if you see somebody doing something that you're not happy with, or you think that, man, you're making a huge mistake, just point them in the right direction. And the key thing is to let them make decisions when they're old enough. You know, I have a one-year-old son, so I don't have a ton of parenting experience yet. Even though I feel like I do after a year, it's like nonstop parenting. But I've done youth ministry for 15 years. And so I've been involved with families for a long time and seeing what's going on in kids' lives. And, you know, one thing with my one-year-old son is if he sees that hot stove, I'm not just going to be like, "All right, it's time for him to learn his lesson. You go ahead and touch that, young man. Let's see what happens." You know, obviously, at this point in his life, I need to guide him. I need to maybe force some things and stop him from doing some things. But if he's 14 years old and he wants to touch that stove, I'm letting him touch that stove so he can figure it out on his own. You know, this is how I needed to learn growing up. Definitely as a teenager, I was definitely not the type of kid that was like, "If you tell me not to do it, I won't do it." I'm like, I want to see how the glue tastes. You know, even at 18, I still wanted to see how the glue tastes. You know, don't tell me not to eat it. But sometimes this is how our kids need to learn. They need to come to things on their own. And one thing I think sometimes is we need to figure out when it's their time to figure out what they think about church. You know, sometimes I see parents forcing their kids to go to church, like no matter what. And at some ages, that's good. At some ages, they need that. But if it's constantly like that, there's going to be a time when they decide what they do with their life. And they cannot be forced. And the one thing I think that force does is force can cause rebellion. And, you know, sometimes we think of rebellion as like, you know, the old movies with the guy with the slick back hair and the cigarettes in his sleeve, you know, driving some convertible car, whatever. That's not always what rebellion looks like. You know, I think that sometimes there's parents sitting with their kids in church every single weekend, yet their kids are rebelling behind their back. And so rebellion can look different these days. And it comes privately. It comes in a different way. And it's a more dangerous type of rebellion because they're being forced to do something. But then when their parents go away, that's when the rebellion starts. I've seen this in so many teenagers that their parents think they're doing so well because they're forcing something upon them. But then when it's time to make their own decisions, it's completely different. You know, we need to allow our kids to make their own decisions sometimes. And this is why it's so important that we teach our children to please God, not just please us. Because there's going to be, you know, believe it or not, at some point in their life, They're not going to have you around to please. They're going to be off on their own, doing their own thing. And they might not think about, is this going to make my dad happy? What they're going to think about is, will my dad ever find out about this? You know? But if we teach them to please God, God's the one who's always with them at all times. That's such a great way to teach our kids to live. And, you know, just because our children obey us, it doesn't mean they respect us, right? Like, obedience shouldn't be our number one goal. I think that we just need to remember that we need to teach our kids to respect us and remember that they're not dogs. You know, just because they fear us, it doesn't mean they respect us. Our goal for them is to love and respect us. There's that mutual respect there, love and respect. And it always starts with the parent loving and respecting the child first. And as parents, I think it's so important that we recognize and apologize when we're wrong. This is such a big thing of respect, yeah. Is respecting our kids enough to apologize to them when we're wrong. You know, this is one thing I've always loved about my dad, that no matter what happens, man, he's so good about apologizing when he is wrong. He might not know he's wrong in the moment. We might, as kids, might be like, oh yeah, he's wrong right now. But he takes time he respects us enough to think about, okay, is what I just did, was that right? Was I off there? Was I wrong? One thing I can think about, he's so good about apologizing. One thing I always will remember is, you know, my family, we're not the greatest craftsmen. We're not natural at, you know, building things. You can see this in many different things around our home, but in my home especially, definitely not a natural craftsman. But when we were younger, we were drywalling our garage, and if anybody's ever drywalled anything or even put a picture up for that matter, I mean, for me, behind every picture in my house is about 18 holes from trying to find the stud and are the batteries good in the stud finder and doing the ear thing, trying everything. But one thing I remember about my dad is we were drywalling in the garage, and me and my brother were holding up the piece of drywall, and you know, it's heavy, and you're like 12 years old, and you're like, why am I doing this? But my dad's trying to find the stud on this piece of drywall, and I swear that wood was like this, because he's like, there. There's like 48 holes in this piece of drywall, and it gets to the point where he starts to freak about where the stud is. He's yelling, and there's screws flying everywhere. He's freaking out about this drywall, but what I always remember, and you know, every time I leave the mud room of my parents' house, I always look at that piece of drywall. I always remember, yeah, I remember Dad freaking out when we put that up. But I always will remember that later that night, after the drywall was up and we walked away from it and everything had calmed down, he knew that he was wrong to freak out in front of us. And he just took the time. He respected us enough to come back and say, guys, I'm so sorry that I acted like that today. And he just respected us, not just, they're my kids, they're used to it, but he respected us enough to come back and say, guys, I'm sorry I acted like that about the drywall. I'm glad it's up. Let's move forward and never drywall again.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm going to talk about the principle of relationship for a second. And I think with families, we need to seek first to always build relationships. And this may involve a sacrifice of time on the part of parents. But one thing that I've heard is sometimes parents say, you know what, I think it's too late. I don't think it's ever too late to take the time to build relationships with your kids. I mean, how many of you as adults would be so thrilled if your parents said, hey, let's get together once a month for coffee? Right. That would be awesome. So let's take the time to build relationships in families. And moms can help the dads to be great dads, because we tend to be the family planners and the organizers. So don't be afraid to help your husband. Be realistic. You know, he's not going to be able to see everybody for a coffee every day, you know, that kind of thing. But help him to plan and organize time with the kids. It will be helpful. But the thing is when we do get together with our kids, when we do get together with them, try not to straighten them out in that time. What's the goal of that time together? The goal is relationship. The goal is not to come with a list of this is what needs to change, this is what you need to work on. Right. The goal is just simply loving on them and building relationship.
Right. And I think that it's so important, and I think that especially as I get older, this is that much more important, is just letting your kids know that you're proud of them. You know, I think as adult children, it's probably the number one thing that we crave is that we want approval from our parents. And I think you'll do your kids a huge favor by letting them know that you're proud of them. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes for dads, this can be super awkward. Like, we're like, son, I'm proud of you. Like, it's kind of a weird thing for us sometimes. But I think it's such an important thing to learn. Investing the time to just let your kids know that you're proud of them. And, you know, if you're a grandparent in the room, let your kids know that they're doing a good job parenting. I think that is so important. Just letting them know, hey, you're doing a good job. You could do that right now if you wanted. But no, I just think that, you know, having a young kid at home, there's enough judgment in the world about how we parent. And I just think that, man, that yes, there's times that we could use advice, but I think we could use encouragement a whole lot more than that. And I just think that no matter where your kids are at, you wouldn't believe what encouragement would do for them. And man, there is a lot of judgment in the world. I know that it happens on social media towards, you know, parents. It happens in Costco. You know, your kid's freaking out. This happened to me. A kid's like 8 days old. He's freaking out. And I'm like, oh, my God, what do I do? And this lady comes up and she's like, oh, you need a tighter swaddle. Like, leave me alone, lady. Do you want to die today? Like, let me figure this out. But there's enough judgment in the world that I think parents, you know, as other parents are around us, just our peers that are parents as well, man, just take time to encourage them. Tell them they're doing a good job. And before we ever offer advice, let's offer encouragement first. And man, I got friends that do this for me, and I love it. I love it. It's such a key investment that we can make into our kids, but also into the parents around us. You know, it's never too early or too late to also invest in the faith of our children. Many of you are doing that today by bringing your kids and dropping them off in the dome, you know, making that step of faith, like, okay, I'm going to leave my kids with this stranger. But, you know, just making that step of faith to invest in the faith of your kids. You know, my son, like I said, he's 1 year old, and we're already reading him the Bible. Not like King James, Revelation, like stuff like that. But what we're doing is we just got him this little baby Bible, and it just takes like 45 seconds to read each little story, and it rhymes in there. And it's so great just to take time, and even though he'll only sit for like 12 seconds, just taking time to read it. And why are we doing that? Because he understands it? No, because my wife and I want to build a habit in our lives that we are investing in the faith of our children. It's never too early to do that. Proverbs 3, verse 3, it says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. And such a common thing that I see in parents, and even in myself, with friends sometimes, is the only connection that sometimes we have with people, it could be our children or whoever, the only connection we have is correction. So the only time we're ever speaking with them, the only time we're really getting one-on-one, looking each other in the eyes, is when correction needs to happen. But the only connection cannot be correction. See, I believe that parenting is like a scale. From what I've seen, in youth's lives, and from what I've seen in our family's life, and how my parents have brought us up, is that parenting is like a scale. Not like a stand on the scale, oh my gosh, I had way too much fries, or whatever scale. Like a judge scale. I don't know what those are called, the scale, I think so. And on one side is love, and one side is discipline. And I think that the more you love your child, the more you show them love, the more you express how much you love them, the more they're willing to hear your discipline. And so if we're disciplining too much without the love side of things, they're gonna stop like hearing that. And too much love without any discipline makes a spoiled child, but too much discipline without enough love can damage a child forever. And you know, I think it's kind of like if you're at the playground with your kids, and if you were running around, if you were taking the time to chase them up and down the you know, the obstacle things and go down the slides with them and stuff, when they start to do something wrong at the playground, if they have that connection with you that whole time, they're willing to listen when you need to correct them, when they're pushing somebody out of the way or anything like that. But if you're sitting at the bottom drinking your coffee, looking at social media, and you look up and they're slugging someone in the face and you're on the bottom like, hey, Daniel, stop that. They're more, you know, they're going to listen better if you're alongside them, with them, showing them that love. So I think it's so important that we remember that those two sides of the scale, that our connection needs to be strong before we have to correct. And I think that, yeah, discipline is so good. Obviously, like Proverbs 3 verse 12 says, the Lord disciplines those he loves. But we need that strong love connection. And sometimes we lose that connection. It happens when maybe we're into our work too much and we get home and we're still thinking about what happens at work. Or maybe we're just staying at work too late and not realizing that there's a window of opportunity when your kids are home and they need you in that time. And I just think that it's better to have the opposite problem where we're at work and we're thinking about what our kids are doing and being like, oh my gosh, I'm screwing up my job. I gotta fix this. You know, at the end of the day, if you get fired from your job, there's somebody else that can do that job. But there's only one dad for your kids, and there's only one mom for your kids. And it's so important to remember that we should get lost in how much we love our kids more than we're getting lost in our work.
All right. That's awesome. Good stuff. All right. I get to talk about conflict, my favorite topic. And, you know, in healthy families, they have conflict. Yeah. So you see healthy families, maybe pastors' families, church families, the family down the street. I'll guarantee in every healthy family, there's lots of conflict. And it seems like the more people in the family, the more conflict. Right, Joel?
Yes.
Yes. Joel's going to agree. So the more people, the more conflict. But you know what? I like conflict. And some people think I'm crazy. Joel, you thought I was crazy when I say that sometimes. But yes. Yeah. But I really do like conflict. And the reason why is in Proverbs 27:17, it says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. What that means is that we all have rough edges. And the great thing about conflict is it polishes off those rough edges. Yeah. And so if we do conflict well, that there's going to be a change that happens in people's lives. That's where I see the positive side of conflict. I see the possibilities for change if we handle conflict well.
Yeah.
So not the yelling and screaming and constant conflict in the home and strife and that kind of stuff. That doesn't produce anything. But conflict that's handled well. And Dennis just did a series on conflict, Can We Talk, not long ago, based on the book, Difficult Conversations. Get that book. It's amazing. But we've got to learn to handle conflict well so that we can all change and grow. That's a great series. I've been reminding Dennis of that constantly. Like, remember how you said this in the series? So, you know, that's a great, great thing to do is to learn. Healthy families do not have an absence of conflict, but they have the skills to handle it. Yeah. They handle it skillfully, not yelling, not screaming, not avoiding. I don't want anything to do with that. I'll just stay away from them. Or gossiping, but they have the skills to handle it well, and they know how to bring up difficult conversations.
So good. So good. You know, as we close today, I just wanted to end with this verse. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. It says, rejoice always. Pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, I just think that we should never, ever, ever stop praying for our kids. And if you haven't done this yet, man, it's not too late. Start today. Just start praying for your kids all the time and never, never stop thanking God for them. Never stop thanking God for them. You know, even in the tough times with our kids, still thank God for these kids.
Yeah.
And there's nothing your kids need more than the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life. There's nothing that your kids need more than that. And it's one of the most important things we can do is pray for our kids. Pray for them and train them, like I said earlier, man, train them to please God. Train them that it's not all about pleasing us as parents, it's about pleasing God. And when they're away from us, man, they'll think about pleasing God. And that, man, that's the perfect thing that they could do. In Psalms 119:9, it says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? It's by living according to your word. So make sure that God's word is working in you first. And when they see this modeled in your life, they'll model it in their own. And teach them to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in their life. And as parents, just remember that we're working alongside the Holy Spirit. Man, we're doing that together. And he loves them more than we ever could. He loves your kids more than you ever could. And I just think that we need to remember, just as people here today, that we're part of another family. That's God's family. And that's what we're doing here today. We're all part of this one big family called church. And I just think it's a reminder of that. We just need to be reminded of that today. And if you're in the room today, and maybe you feel like that you're not part of that family yet and you need that, I just want to let you know you are welcome here. And we love you so very much. We're gonna close today, and I'll just ask everybody to go ahead and stand up right now, right before we end the service today. And man, I hope you had a great Mother's Day so far. We got so much stuff going on in the lobby afterwards. We'd love to take care of you. We're so happy that you spent this time with us today. But before we move forward with anything else that we're doing, I just wanna take a moment today. And I just know that, man, that if you don't feel like you're part of God's family yet, I just want you to know right now that He loves you so much. And that, man, maybe sometimes parenting, maybe sometimes being in a family can feel overwhelming, but I want you to know that God's there for you and He loves your kids and He loves you so much. You know, one thing our pastor always says is God has no grandchildren, that you're His son, you're His daughter, and so are your kids. And He loves you all so much and He wants you to be part of His family. And so I want to take a moment today to ask if, you know, if anyone wants to be part of this family, if anybody wants to accept Jesus into your life, just know that He died for you and He loves you so much. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. He knows how many hairs are on your head, and He knew your name before you were even born, and He had that plan for you before you were even born. I just ask everybody right now to close your eyes and bow your heads. And I want to take a moment to pray with you. Today, if you want to accept Jesus into your life, I would love to pray with you to do that. And if you want to pray this prayer with me, I just ask right now that you slip up your hand just so I know who I'm praying with. Go ahead and put it up right now. That's awesome. There's hands all over this room. Such a great decision, the best decision you could ever make today. You can go ahead and put your hand down right now. And I'm going to pray for you right now. And you don't have to repeat after me or anything. Just pray this in your heart. Pray this in your heart as you're there today. Lord Jesus, I just thank you that you love me so much, that you died on the cross for me. And I just thank you that, man, that you have a plan for my life. I just thank you today that you died for my sins. And I pray that you'd forgive me of my sins. And today, I want to be accepted as your child. I want to live for you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you would like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.